You know David Alan Greer from his years on In Living Color and on shows like Life with Bonnie on ABC a couple of years ago and many other projects he's done. Now he's coming to St. Louis on Friday night to work at the Two Hill on the UMSL campus, and we're happy to welcome him to the Paul Harris Show this afternoon. Hi, David.
How are you doing, Paul Harris?
I'm doing just fine.
How's everything going?
Everything's going okay. What are you up to these days?
Well, I'm coming to see you, man.
I know you are.
Coming to St. Louis very shortly. As soon as I pay my, well, they're calling it bail, but I call it a short fee.
Uh-huh.
It's a stop by the police.
Uh-huh.
I'll be over there scot-free. I'll have an ankle bracelet on. That's about it.
And that permits you to travel? They just monitor where you are? It's a location kind of deal?
Yes, it does. I got to keep my voice low because the authorities, let's call them, are looking at me.
Let's call them that.
Yes, the Two Hill.
Yeah. Named after Blanche Two Hill.
I know her well. She's a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny individual.
What's the last time you were on the road doing stand-up like this?
I do dates. I mean, it's kind of like when I was on In Living Color, I did a lot of dates. And I've kind of cut back and gone to places where I really want to go. And I love doing theaters. I think I was in St. Louis a few years ago in a club somewhere. I can't even tell you. I know I kept changing hotels, and it was the Knights of Columbus to Hojo's. After a week, I just gave up. But the audiences were great. Really, really, really wonderful audiences there.
It's a great comedy city. Can we talk about In Living Color for a minute here?
Yes, you can.
Because you were one of the few people on that show not named Wayans.
Wow. I changed. You know, I was being interviewed by this woman on a radio show, and she kept saying, you know, I really admire you because you changed your name and you didn't want to make it on your family's name. And I was like, what is that? She said, well, you know, you're Wayans, David Wayans, but you changed it to Greer, and that was really admirable. Because, and I'm like, that is my name. See, you're so funny. She never believed me.
Wow.
A source of great sadness.
But it wasn't just Keenan and Damon, who, by the way, is going to be on the show with me tomorrow because he's coming to town next week.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a bit. We work out with the same boxing coach. Of course, I've been there a lot more than he is.
Are you a boxer?
I'm a comic actor who puts boxing gloves on, yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, knocking people out.
Does that mean you're getting up off the canvas a lot?
No, as opposed to putting... I hit pads. I don't hit people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a workout. But I remember, you know, Denzel Washington works out there. Did I just drop that name?
You did, very nicely.
But this years ago, he was working out with a boxing instructor, and he said, man, I'm knocking people out. And I was like, well, who'd you knock out? He said, everybody. No, I don't knock people out. I just do workout.
You worked with Denzel on a terrific movie called A Soldier's Story.
Yes.
You actually did it on stage first, didn't you?
Yes, A Soldier's Play we did for a while in New York and won the Pulitzer Prize. It was written by Charles Fuller. It was great.
Now, the guy who played the crusty sergeant, and any war movie without a crusty sergeant, to me, is not a war movie. Adolf Caesar is his name, right?
Adolf Caesar. Well, you know, if you're going to name your kid Adolf Caesar, you know what's going to happen.
His real name?
Real name.
Wow.
Born and raised in Harlem. Adolf Caesar.
Well, that explains the crustiness, doesn't it?
Yeah. He's a great guy.
And a terrific role. And was he the kind of guy who changed into that person, or was he really that crusty guy?
He is a lot of people. He looked at me the day I met him, and he went, Dag. That's what I'm going to call you, boy. Dag.
Mm-hmm.
So he named me Dag. He was a really fun guy. We would hang out, all of us would hang out, and I could never keep up with Adolf. He was twice our age, and he moved faster, he did more, he lived harder. He was a great guy.
And had a nice little premonition there that someday you would be on a show called...
Dag. Again, so when we started doing Dag, I come in one day and the producers go, okay, we got this great idea, why don't we call the show Dag? And I was like, yeah, okay. By then it was my nickname already.
Yeah.
You know, for those guys, Sam Jackson was in the play, and he wasn't in the movie, but I was like, yeah, cool, it's already my name. So they were a little disappointed that they didn't think of it, but I let them think that they thought of it.
What a cast.
Yes.
What a cast.
Wonderful cast. Really wonderful.
And I mentioned also that you worked with Bonnie Hunt on a couple of projects. Yes. Life with Bonnie for a couple of years on
mm-hmm.
ABC.
Yeah.
And also a movie that she directed called Return to Me.
Yes, but I met her on Jumanji in like 95.
Uh-huh.
She and I, Robin Williams, did it. Kirsten Dunst, who must have been 12 years old.
Right.
And I'll tell you a story. I was in a club in L.A., and I see Kirsten, and she's all beautiful, you know, young woman. She's like, David, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to sleep with your friends now. Okay? You're of age. That's really why I'm here.
Uh-huh.
But, that's where I met Bonnie. That's the first time we worked together.
And is it the sort of thing where you, once you work with somebody, you just want to keep working with them again and again, and so you do with her?
You know what? We became friends. She's one of the funniest people I know, and when I heard about Return to Me, you have these meetings with your agents, they go over these projects, and I heard about her projects, and I was like, fine, I know her. It was an easy deal. The same thing with her show. I was available, and I was like, yeah, of course. I knew it would be fun. I knew it would be good, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Let me go back to In Living Color for just a moment. We're talking with David Alan Greer, who's coming to the Two Hill on Friday night here on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. Every skit from Saturday Night Live, pretty much every skit from Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels has turned into a big screen movie.
Yes.
How come that didn't happen with In Living Color?
I don't. You know what? At the time, we talked a whole lot of talk about doing that. I think one of the things that Lorne Michaels and those guys did from the beginning is they set up the framework to make that happen. Like, most of those guys were handled by Brillstein. Bernie Brillstein at the time, and then I think, was it Lauren? A part of their deal shortly thereafter became about any character you create. They had the writers. I mean, it just was set up, so it was almost like a factory.
But nobody ever came to you and Damon and said, hey, men on film, let's
they
make
did,
it.
They did, but you know, it was never an idea that we thought we were both really sold on, and the time wasn't right, I think. And then, you know, Keenan and those guys left the show. They didn't really own the characters. They were mad at Fox. You know.
Was there friction between you guys and Fox?
Not me. No, not me. I mean, one of the things I really enjoyed about doing the show is that as an actor, as a performer, we were always sheltered from everything. So we just would go in a room and write and work and be funny, and we put it on the air. We never were confronted with, well, you can't say this, you can't say that. After a couple of years, it became more of that, but that was really a pleasure. I mean, you know, Keenan and Tamara Rawat, that was their job. They just sat there and talked to the network, the studio, and all of them, and we never really had to deal with that.
Yeah, I would think after the success of, you know, even the first couple of months, the network would pretty much go, all right, you people are on your own, you're obviously making a hit.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? No. When you do something that's successful in Hollywood, everybody wants credit. And everybody wants to think that they helped do that.
Uh-huh.
So I've met several people who said they created In Living Color because it was a success. Same with Dave Chappelle. I mean, once a show became successful, there were 800 Dave Chappelles who were like, well, you know, I created that show. Really? Okay.
Yeah. And did you have to write in order to get something on that show, or were people writing for you specifically?
That was, you know what, Keenan encouraged that from the very beginning. He said, that's the formula for success. You know, I didn't come in like that kind of performer. I didn't come in with like 18 characters, the midget guy, the one-eyed guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that as part of the show, and we would have these weekly pitch sessions where you had to just pitch these new characters, which sometimes were great meetings, and sometimes they were really long and really torturous, when no one had a good idea. And it was like, nope, next, you know. So we were hard critics on each other and ourselves.
And are you still in touch with these people? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, I'm still friends with a lot of them.
I bet you can't call Jim Carrey, though, can you?
I can, absolutely. Jim and I were supposed to do a movie together. My scheduling, because at the time I was on Life with Bonnie, I wasn't able to do it. I think it was a Lemony Snicket. We talked about doing something else. When I see Jim, it's really great. One time I was at a hotel, and I go up to my room. A guy calls me, says, look, I'm in the bar, I'm with Jim Carrey, he wants you to come down and have a drink. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm on my way out, and I'm like, that's not Jim Carrey. I know it's 500 Iranian guys in a, yeah, that all are at the bar, and they're going to kill me.
Uh-huh.
So, no, the next day, I ran into him, and he was under an alias. I was under an alias, and we ended up hanging out for the rest of the afternoon. It's good. It's always good seeing him.
So was there anybody on that show who you can't call? Oh, I know who you can't call now.
Who?
J-Lo.
No, I see her.
No, you don't.
I do, too. I saw her. Last time I saw J-Lo was at the opening of, what was it, Daredevil.
Yeah, but you can't pick up the phone. Hey, Jennifer, it's David.
But we never had that kind of relationship. I mean, if I didn't call her when we were working together, why am I going to call her now?
Well.
Hey, baby, how you doing? I always meant to call.
She was one of the fly girls on that show. I think that's how she got her big start, isn't it?
Yes. And she still looks well, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
There have been some other flat girls who come up to me with children and glasses and gray hair, and I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, who are you? She's like, I'm a fly girl, remember me? Like, no, I don't. I really don't.
And it was only 15 years ago.
I'm like, please.
Unbelievable.
God, get this old lady away from me.
And as I was looking through your credits, I had forgotten that you did one of the voices in Stuart Little.
I was.
And a couple of your pals there just won Golden Globes. I thought it was ironic that both of Stuart's parents, Gina Davis and Hugh Laurie, both won awards on the same night on Sunday.
You know what? I totally forgot that Hugh Laurie was the husband.
Yeah.
On Stuart Little. I love his show, House.
That's a great show.
Really good show.
Great show. Yeah. What other projects you have coming up?
Well, actually, I'm starting work on a syndicated late-night talk and comedy show that I'm doing. I just signed a deal with Fox. That should start sometime in the spring.
Fox is getting back in the late-night game, huh?
They're trying to, so I'm really excited about that.
And what kind of show is it going to be?
I think if you think more in terms of, like, format, more like what Chris Rock did when he did his HBO show, that's closer to what I'm doing. So not just sketches, but some monologues, music, and, you know, a whole lot of me.
Well, it just won't be, hey, I'm David, here's a monologue, here's a desk, here's a band.
No.
Because there's 13 of those
totally
now.
Totally different.
Yeah.
We're going to be suspended in midair.
Ooh, honest. That's good.
And we're going to be, I'm going to have a cloud, not a desk.
You know, not enough television involves levitation.
It's bad. It's hard on your limbs.
All right. Friday night at the Two Hill, go see David Alan Greer doing his stand-up, and we'll look forward to the Fox late night thing. And when that comes around, come on back and we'll talk some more.
I will, man.
Thanks for your time.
All right. You take it easy.
David Alan Greer here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.